إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, what seems amazing is the issue of what motivated Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Sahaba to carry on work and to do work in the face of difficulty, in the face of failure, not one failure but continuous failure. If we see the life of Rabbi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Meccan period, it is a series of failures, one after the other. Yet, he did not allow that to demotivate him. He didn't allow himself to fall into the trap of feeling helpless. He did not allow his own enthusiasm or the enthusiasm of his followers and his companions to flag in any way. Even the Madinan period, if you look at it, is a period which is which had some successes, but it also had a number of failures. The Battle of Uhud was one. The Battle of Khandaq, in the end, it was a victory, but they went through difficulties all the way to the end. And the Battle of Hunain, Makkah was a fatah, but Hunain initially was a rout, literally a defeat, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned the tide of battle, and so on. So the question that I ask myself is, how do you find this spirit of passion, and how do you keep that passion alive in the face of difficulty and in the face of failure? Now, this is something that sometimes we lose sight of, which is that just because we are passionate about a particular goal, it doesn't mean that immediately we are going to succeed. In many cases, we don't succeed for a number of years, not just a number of days. But those who do succeed in the end are people who do not allow those failures to stop them from doing what needs to be done. They don't allow the failures to stop them from getting up next morning and continuing to walk on the path that they have chosen for themselves, a path about which they feel very passionate. So what is this passion now, and how do we kindle it? The conclusion that I have come to is that there is an essential piece of this passion which is paradoxical, in the sense that we can only feel hugely passionate about goals which are apparently unachievable, if you want to look at it in that way. The goal is so big, the goal is so huge, that it is almost by definition unachievable. Not unachievable in itself, but unachievable by me as an individual. So if the goal has to be, so the first rule I want to say about being passionate and about continuing and working through failures and working through difficulties, walking through the wall as it were, is that the goal must be so big as to be almost unachievable by definition. A goal which is so big that it is quite possible that you will not see that goal being achieved in your own lifetime. If you take Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, his goal was that the message of Islam must reach every house, every dwelling on the face of the earth, whether it is permanent or whether it is temporary. And nobody can claim that he saw the achievement of this goal in his own lifetime. He did not see it. He said he did not see it achieved in his own lifetime. What he did see was this goal achieved at a certain level, which is in Jaziratul Arab, in the area of Hijaz. But beyond Hijaz, and he knew about places beyond Hijaz, it's not as if he didn't know them. He sent letters out to the kings. None of the kings accepted his da'wah. The king of Persia literally tore it up and threw it away. The Caesar of Rome, you know the story of Heraclius. He didn't tear it and throw it away. He tested it with his bishops, and when he found that they were all against it, he also backed off. the Caucasus of Egypt was more was more welcoming, but he didn't. He also did not change his stance. He also didn't accept his dawah. So even though Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knew that these places, his invitation towards Islam had been rejected, so therefore he didn't. He knew that his message had not spread to even the known world, but to only within Arabia. But the issue is, he was not discouraged. So the goal has to be bigger than yourself. The goal has to be bigger than yourself. First rule, the goal has to be bigger than yourself. Almost by definition, a goal, the goal must be one that is that looks or seems to be unachievable by you in your own lifetime. The second big so-called secret of passion is that it is impossible to generate this passion about a goal which is purely personal. For example, if somebody says, I want to become a millionaire, I want to become a billionaire, it's not possible to generate that kind of passion about that, because what happens is that once you start making money, once you get to a certain point, basically your desires are satisfied. It doesn't take very much to satisfy our desires. You know, I mean, a nice house, a car, and maybe two cars. Maybe you like motorcycling, so you get a nice bike. You like to have holidays, so you go on holidays. You like fishing, whatnot, you do all that. You want to play golf, you play golf. And then at the end of the day, you still have 24 hours. And in those 24 hours, you have to spend a big majority chunk of that time doing that which makes you the money. So you go to work. And then at the end of that, you know, you have whatever time you have, and that time is occupied in your entertainment or whatever hobbies, and the money is enough. So now you don't need $1 billion to achieve that. You don't even need $1 million to achieve that. So you have achieved it in a short time, and then what? And then it's really more of the same. I have one car, now I have two, I had two, I have three, I have three, I have four. And there's really, after a point, anyone with any intelligence loses interest in it. You have to be really mentally retarded to be chasing toys all your life. But even if you do that, there's a point beyond which you burn out, you find life becomes meaningless and so on. So purely chasing personal goals does not give you that kind of passion. So the second secret of having passion and letting that passion fuel you all your life is to have goals which have in them a large chunk of what is in that goal. It's really what's good for others. The goal which will encourage and which will kindle passion and sustain passion is a goal that is intrinsically for the benefit of others. Now, you also benefit, obviously. You also benefit directly, because whatever benefit others naturally will also benefit you. You also benefit indirectly in the sense that you feel good about the whole thing. But essentially, the goal is for the benefit of others. Take the great freedom fighters of the world. Take Nelson Mandela. Take Mahatma Gandhi or anyone else you like to think of. People who worked through barriers that are unimaginable in terms of their difficulty, and people who successfully worked through those barriers, people who did not allow those barriers, did not allow those failures to discourage them. What was it that was driving them? Freedom for my people. Now, my people is not me alone. My people is, you know, a huge number of people in the whole country. So effectively, you're saying, how am I fighting to help others? How am I fighting to free others from slavery, to free others from oppression? Take people who, scientists who continue to work towards discovering cures for terrible diseases. All kinds of things like this, if we make a list of them. All of these are things, are people who worked for the greater goodness of mankind, of greater goodness of society, greater goodness of the world. people who worked for superordinate goals which were not purely personal in nature. So the first thing about passion is the goal must be big enough, meaning that it is almost, in, if you look at it, it's almost unachievable by you alone. And second one, that it must be for others, not only personally for yourself. Third quality of this passion, which enables us to stay motivated throughout life, is to involve other people in it. Because throughout life you will find that when they, no matter how big the goal is and no matter how much the goal is focused towards doing good for others, it will be a goal which, first of all, if it's big enough, then it can't be done by you alone, so you need people with you. And secondly, you always sometimes, you do hit a wall. Now, at that time, you need someone to encourage you, and those are the people who are with you. The encouragement from people with you is twofold. One is you tell yourself, I can't let them down. They believed in my dream. They are with me, and I can't let them down. I can't just walk away, because then what happens to them? They gave their time, they gave their lives, and I can't just walk away from this thing, because if I do that, then what happens to them? So that thought alone is a huge motivator by itself. And secondly, is that you will find among those people, those with wisdom, those with understanding, those who know what's going on with you, those who know you are their leader, but they don't treat you like some kind of untouchable thing sitting on a pedestal. They teach you, they know you're human, and so therefore they come out and they help you and they talk to you and so on and so forth. So they enable you to get through the blues if the blues hit you. So these are the three elements of things that we need to do if we want to kindle the passion and to keep that passion alive. Now, the passion is very important, because as I say many times, if it can't make you cry, it can't make you work. If it cannot make you cry, it cannot make you work. And why must you focus on that? Because to live is not simply to draw breath. There's a difference between living and and existing, just breathing, going to work, coming back home is just existence. So if you want to get out of that and say, well, I want to really live, then we need to be able to be passionate about something, and as I said, something which is great, something which is good for others, and something which in which we can take people along with us. And when we do that, we reach a place where we'll find that at the end of our lives, we can possibly look back on our lives and say that it was worth it. And the difficulty was what made it worth it. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to being passionate about our lives, to do what it takes, and to find joy in that, and to do that as a burden of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for the passion that we live for. So that's that is the thought for the day, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to understand and to help us to live our lives, find direction and live in this way. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.